Hello, children everywhere.
The signature tune, Puffin Billy. The voice, Derek McCulloch, Uncle Mac. And every Saturday morning, millions of children tuned into the wireless to listen to records like this.
Nellie the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump.
And this.
Oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that big rock candy mountain.
And this?
The railroad comes through the middle of the house. The railroad comes through the middle of the house. The trains all come through the middle of the house since the company bought the land.
And this?
Sing your song, Mr. Cuckoo. Sing away, bright and gay, Mr. Cuckoo.
When these cuckoos and it's time to fall in love.
Children's Favorites, or Children's Choice, as it was called originally, was the first regular national record request program for children. Teenagers hadn't been invented then. It began at 9:05 after the news on the light program and ended at 9:50, just in time for a story, a hymn and a prayer. It was the kids' version of the already popular Housewives' Choice, with its familiar signature tune of In a Party Mood. In fact, the very first Children's Choice went out on Christmas Day 1952 and was presented not by Uncle Mac, but by Donald Pierce, who'd been hosting Housewives' Choice the previous week. And that was the pattern for the next year. But in January 1954, Children's Choice became a brand new programme, Children's Favourites, and acquired its own regular presenter in the person of Derek McCulloch. The change at first was not always immediately clear. They used the Housewives' Choice signature tune frequently. And 6 months later, the head of Variety was still referring to it by its old title. But anyway, one of the programme's early producers, later to become head of Radio 1, no less, was Derek Chinnery.
Those were the days when popular radio programmes on the light programme achieved audiences which some television producers would be pleased to have these days. 10 million was quite normal.
Do you know how many requests that you used to get in those days, roughly?
Ooh, it was many thousands a week. Couldn't hope to feature them all anyway, so it was a bit of a lucky dip, perhaps.
So when you were making up the choice of records you were going to play on for the Saturday morning programme, was Uncle Mac involved in that himself, or did he just come in and do the announcing at the end?
Oh, no. Uncle Mac particularly used to like to have his own choice, as it were. Of course, they all worked from scripts in those days. That's an innovation that today's disc jockeys would not understand. Everything was written down before it was broadcast, not just on these programmes, but all programmes, of course.
Mm.
And our boss, Anna Instone, who was a marvellous lady who ran the gramophone department, she would read through these scripts beforehand and criticise them before the broadcast. Mac was very good. He used to, as far as I understand, he wrote himself personally to most of the people who were going to have records played for them on the next week's programme.
Because also going through the programme sheets of all the records that were broadcast, there does emerge a pattern. There were a certain amount each week of what we might call novelty numbers, the Max Bygraves, Danny Kaye repertoire, spiced with a little light classical music for the edification and education, no doubt, mm-hmm. and perhaps a little folk song. you know.
Well, they were all requests, though. In yes. those days, the choice of music was paramount, really. I think an awful lot of people wanted to hear the music as well as their names mentioned. We're talking about the early 50s and late 40s, when not every home had a record player and tape machines weren't even available. And if someone wanted to hear something rather special, you know, something they enjoyed, it was probably the only way they actually heard the record, was by requesting it on the air.
Derek McCulloch was not the only presenter of the programme. Over the years, such luminaries as Michael Miles, Victor Sylvester and David Jacobs took a turn at the turntable. But it was McCulloch's personality and McCulloch's voice that made the programme what it was. It was his baby, after all. He'd been head of children's programmes since 1938. But the young audience who listened to him then would have known him simply as Uncle Mac, the man who did the voice of Larry the Lamb in Toy Town. He died in 1967 at the age of 69, just 3 months before Children's Favourites finally ended, to be transformed as Junior Choice, presented by young DJs like Ed Stewart and Tony Blackburn, part of Swinging New Radio One. So, in this celebration, the Beatles are out. Alma Cogan is in. Pinky and Perky are out. The Owl and the Pussycat are in. Little White Bully's out. Little Red Monkey is in. Even Michael Holliday is out. Vernon Dalhart is in.
'Twas in the year of 89 on that old Chicago line when the winter wind was blowing shrill. The rails were froze, the wheels were cold, and then the air brakes wouldn't hold, and number 9 came roaring down the hill. Oh, the runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train come down the track, the whistle wide and the throttle back, and she blew. Oh, the engineer said the train must halt, and she blew. The engineer said the train must halt, and she blew. The engineer said the train must halt, he said it was all the fireman's fault, and she blew, 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 blew.
The runaway train. Probably the most requested record of the Uncle Mac era, which was roughly 1953 to 1956. Michael Holliday made a later, very popular version of the song, but this is the echt version for the true connoisseur.
Oh, the fireman said he rang the bell and she blew. The fireman said he rang the bell and she blew. The fireman said he rang the bell, the engineer said you did like, and she blew, 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 blew. Oh, the runaway train went over the hill and she blew. The runaway train went over the hill and she blew. The runaway train went over the hill and the last we heard she was going still and she blew, 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 blew.
Very quickly, I must tell you about Vernon Dalhart. His real name was, wait for it, Marion Try Slaughter, which he wisely changed by picking the names of two towns, Vernon and Dalhart, and sticking them together. In the 20s and early 30s, he was, at that time, by far the biggest-selling country and western singer in history. His discs sold in millions, and he recorded them under more than 70 pseudonyms. The thing is, he specialised in disaster songs. The Runaway Train was just one. For instance, he made a record in 1924 called The Wreck of the Old 97, which eventually sold over 7 million. Now, one of Dalhart's songwriting partners was a man called Frank Luther, and Frank Luther wrote and performed this.
On a bluff, there lived three billy goats gruff. Little billy goat, middle billy goat, great big billy goat gruff. Across the river bridge was a meadow full of green, green grass. Under the bridge lived a big bad troll, and all day long he'd sit under the bridge and sing his bad troll song. I'm a troll, foldy roll. I'm a troll, foldy roll. I'm a troll, foldy roll. Foldy roll, de rolly.
The Three Billy Goats Gruff. Now, we can't play all of it because, as Uncle Mac himself said,
we cannot sing all the verses. If we did that, then we should have time only for two or three hymns instead of eight.
Quite. But it wasn't half maddening. I'll just play the last bit where Little Billy Goat Gruff and Middle Billy Goat Gruff have already got over the rickety-rackety bridge, and the troll, Fol-de-rol, is about to get Great Big Billy Goat Gruff. You can laugh. It used to terrify me.
Trip, trap, trip, trap, hop and skip, hop and skip. But just when he reached the middle of the bridge, the big bad troll stuck his head up and said, "Who's that trip-trapping over my bridge?" The goat said, "It is I, Great Big Billy Goat Gruff." The troll said, "I'm a troll, fol-de-rol. I'm a troll, fol-de-rol. I'm a troll, fol-de-rol. And I'll eat you for supper." But Great Big Billy Goat Gruff said, "Oh, no, you won't, Mr. Troll." And Great Big Billy Goat Gruff put his head down. He put his horns out. And he ran clickety-clackety, rickety-lackety, slam-bangety, hit that big bad troll and knocked him over the bridge, over the bushes, over the trees, over the hills, over the highest mountains. So Great Big Billy Goat Gruff went trip-trap, trip-trap over the rickety-rackety bridge. Trip-trap, trip-trap, hop and skip, clippity-clop, hippity-hop, over the rickety bridge. And so the three Billy Goats Gruff were over in the green, green meadow with the red, red roses, eating the green, green grass until they nearly burst. And the big bad troll never bothered them again. And they're the happiest Billy Goats Gruff you ever saw. Every day, they run and jump and play. Little Billy Goat, little Billy Goat, great big Billy Goat Gruff.
Frank Luther with a cornerstone of the Uncle Mac request repertoire, the equivalent in those pre-telly days of a five-minute cartoon. Except the same cartoon was requested and played week after week. In some cases, year after year. Part of the appeal of the programme, I suspect, was its thumb-sucking, nappy-shredding security. Each week, the same old welcome friends singing the same old welcome songs, interspersed invariably with... Mantovani and his orchestra with the Swedish Rhapsody. Instrumental items like this were, it's difficult to believe now, regularly requested by the programme's young audience. And if it wasn't the Swedish Rhapsody, so redolent of gymkhanas, fates and ice rinks, as likely as not it would be the equally evocative Bluebell Polka, played by, yes of course, the Toscanini of Scottish dance music, Jimmy Shand and his band.
When he was only three, and singing, "Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, once again now."
Hard to comprehend now, but when that came out in 1955, it was the fastest selling record ever, 7 million in 6 months. Walt Disney has a lot to answer for. But the Western wasn't just for the boys, you know.
Oh, the Deadwood stages are rolling on over the plains, with the curtains flapping and the driver a-slapping the reins. A beautiful sky, a wonderful day. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. Oh, the Deadwood stages are heading on over the hills, where the engine arrows are thicker than porcupine quills. Dangerous land, no time to delay. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away.
Also from the 1954 soundtrack of Calamity Jane.
Take me back to the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota.
the beautiful Indian country that I love.
Doris Day. A lot of American artists were beginning to find a British market. Rosemary Clooney was another of them.
Me and my teddy bear have no worries, have no care. Me and my teddy bear just play and play all day.
Rosemary Clooney. But among British artists, none was quite so popular, none quite so consistently, nay, relentlessly requested as Max Bygraves. He also presented the programme frequently, of course, with the ventriloquist Peter Brough and his dummy Archie Andrews. It was on their series, Educating Archie, that Max first started singing the children's songs that became such enduring favourites.
There's a tiny house.
There's a tiny house.
By a tiny stream.
By a tiny stream.
Where a lovely lass.
Where a lovely lass.
Had a lovely dream.
Had a lovely dream.
And her dream came true.
And her dream came true.
Quite unexpectedly, in
Gilly, Gilly, Arsene Pepper, Cats and
Allen, Bogan
by the Sea.
We used to have a little song spot every week by Archie's girlfriend, who was Julie Andrews. And Julie, one week, had laryngitis. She couldn't sing. And for the song spot, they didn't know what to do. And then they remembered that I did a song called I'll Take the Legs from Some Old Table, which was a novelty song, which suited the programme very well because it was almost like talking about Archie, like, I'll take the legs from some old table, I'll take the arms from some old chair, I'll take the neck from some old bottle, and from the horse I'll take the hair, and it was that sort of thing, you see. And then they liked what I did, and then the following week I did a song called You're a Pink Toothbrush, I'm a Blue Toothbrush. Well, in those days we used to get sacks and sacks of mail. I mean, it was only a penny to send a postcard in those days, and it wouldn't be unusual to get 3,000 or 4,000 cards, you know, from people saying, and by that it was a yardstick, you could judge, you know, what people liked. And then when these novelty songs caught on, I started doing more and more of them. Gilly Gilly Awesome Pfeffer, Catanelle and Bogan by the Sea. There were some weird titles, but the kids loved them and they loved doing them. The one joke I did, I said, I say it on the stage now, and I say, I once recorded a song called You're a Pink Toothbrush, I'm a Blue Toothbrush. And, you know, people usually applaud. I say, now you'd be surprised, I recorded that for the children. But they've grown up, they've taught it to their children. I said, you'd be amazed. That has sold over 1 million. Not records, toothbrushes.
You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a blue toothbrush. Have we met somewhere before? You're a pink toothbrush, and I think toothbrush that we met by the bathroom door. Glad to meet toothbrush, such a sweet toothbrush. How you thrill me through and through. Don't be hard toothbrush on the soft toothbrush, 'cause I can't help loving you. Every time I hear you whistle, it makes my nylon bristle. You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a blue toothbrush. Won't you marry me in haste? I'll be true toothbrush, just to you toothbrush, when we both use the same toothpaste. All right, children, I want to see if you've been listening. When I say two, join in on the chorus. One, three.
You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a blue toothbrush, have we met somewhere before? You're a pink toothbrush, and a pink toothbrush, that we met by the bathroom door.
Every time I hear you whistle, it makes my nylon bristle.
You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a blue toothbrush, won't you marry me in haste? I'll be true toothbrush, just to you toothbrush, when we both
use the same toothpaste.
That was very good. You can all take the day off.
Max Bygraves and those children. Uncle Mac played a lot of records which featured children. They were either raucous and winsomely boisterous like those, or well-groomed and spotless like these. I wonder if any of the children are listening who sang on this famous 1929 recording of Sir Hamilton Harty conducting the Manchester School Children's Choir in a popular classical favourite. The dance duet from Hansel and Gretel by Humperdinck. Who, like the Oberkirchen Children's Choir, came from Germany. The war had been over for only 8 years, and, well, perhaps that was why the song was also recorded in English and Welsh. The singing positively brims over with reassuring fellowship and goodwill. Another record of laughter was played week in, week out. I can remember my intense disappointment amounting almost to resentment when Uncle Mac chose to ignore Charles Penrose.
He laughs upon point duty, he laughs upon his feet, he laughs at everybody when he's walking in the street. He never can stop laughing, he says he's never tried, but once he did arrest a man and laughed until he cried.
The laughing policeman, well over 60 years old now. Curious how laughter is so noticeably absent from the music that children listen to today. Sometimes the lucky and talented would be plucked from the chorus to lead them as soloist. Petula Clark was already a veteran of over 20 films by the time she made this with Children from Dr. Bernardo's. The insistently jolly Papa Piccolino.
Papa Piccolino, Papa Piccolino, he plays so prettily to every signorina. Papa Piccolino puts on the Italy. La 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 la.
The changing guard at Buckingham Palace, Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Alice is marrying one of the guard, a soldier's life is terrible hard, says Alice. The changing guard at Buckingham Palace, Christopher Robin went down with Alice. We looked for the king, but he never came. Well, God take care of him all the same, says Alice.
Miss Anne Stevens, oozing empire and nannies in Fraser Simpson's setting of A.A. Milne's poem. Derek McCulloch himself made several records with children of nursery rhymes, party games and hymns, and more often than not, he'd include one in the programme.
Morning, Friday.
male soloist, none other than Barbara Mullen, then in her 30s, who later became a national treasure as Janet, Dr. Finlay's housekeeper. And after a spiritually uplifting hymn, what better than some good light classical music to broaden the young mind? If it was not to be the Swedish Rhapsody, or Larry Adler playing Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring on the harmonica, then why not the exuberant Thunder and Lightning Polka? Or one of the many novelty numbers by Leroy Anderson. Another equally hectic piece often asked for was the post-horn gallop. So, as Uncle Mac once suggested,
ten tibby, yoikes, and away!
Of the Royal Marines, conducted by Major F.J. Ricketts, better known by his pseudonym of Kenneth J. Alford, the composer of Colonel Bogey. More sedate and even more popular was The Skater's Waltz. There was the merest hint of musical appreciation in all this. It was unmistakable in one of the most enduring of all children's records. It had a good story, it had real classical music, it had an instructive moral, and it was all about a little boy with whom all of Uncle Mac's listeners could identify.
Sparky, oh Sparky.
Who's that? Who's calling me?
It is I, your piano.
Piano? But you're talking.
Yes, I can talk, and I can play myself.
You can play yourself?
Don't be surprised, Sparky. I'm going to show you what it is like when you can play the piano. Well,
you'll really show me? You'll show me what it's like to play the piano well?
Yes, Sparky. Sit down on my stool. Put your fingers on my keys.
All right, I'm sitting on the piano stool, and my hands are on the keys. What do I do now?
Run your hands over my keys.
Why, I'm playing just like my teacher.
No, I'm late for you, Sparky.
I know it's you playing, but when I run my hands over the keys, it's just like I was playing myself. Let's play a piece, something very hard. That revolutionary etude by Chopin my teacher sometimes plays for me.
All right, Sparky, I'll play anything you ask me to play for now.
This is fun!
And there, infuriatingly, we have to leave it. Just like Uncle Mac used to do, without any promise or guarantee of hearing the end of the story next week. The music for that, by the way, was arranged by Billy May, who also wrote this, a classic I thought I'd never hear again.
I am a little tiny bird, my name is Tweety Pie. I live inside my bird cage, a hanging way up high. I like to swing upon my perch and sing my little song. But there's a cat that's after me and won't let me alone. I tore a putty tat a-tweeping upon me. I did, I tore a putty tat as plain as he could be.
I am that great big battle cat, Sylvester is my name. I only have one aim in life, and that is very plain. I want to catch that little bird and eat him right away. But just as I get close to him, this is what he'll say. I tore a putty cat a-creeping upon me. You bet he saw a putty cat. That putty cat is me.
Mel Blanc and I tore a putty tat. But if you wanted, and many children did, a real talking canary, or rather budgie, then that was on hand as well. When was the last time you heard this, I wonder?
Hello, beauty, come on. Where's pussycat, where have you been? I've been up the ladder to look at the queen, and every time I come in the house, the monkey's on the table. Take a stick and knock him off. Goes the weasel. Every time I come in the house, the monkey's on the table. Take a stick and knock him off. Pop goes the weasel. Umpty Dumpty Dumpty says the bull. Umpty Dumpty had a great fall. While the king's horse opened all the king's bag, couldn't put Umpty Dumpty again. Pop again. Say it again.
Beauty Metcalf, captured in December 1937 on a much-played BBC archive recording. Have you noticed a common theme? Little birds, little animals, little people, little anything were hugely popular in the weekly fix of the comfortable and familiar. So how about a little quiz? Listen to these excerpts. They've all got a little something in common.
Look at the monkey, bunny monkey, little red monkey, acting so fidgety. Look at the monkey, bunny monkey, little red monkey, cute as can be.
There's a little white duck sitting in the water, a little white duck. Doing what he oughter, he took a bite of a lily pad, flapped his wings and he said, I'm glad I'm a little white duck,
quack,
sitting in the water.
Oh,
quack, quack, quack.
Little boy fishing off a wooden pier, come fish, bite fish, swim along here. Little boy wonder why the fish don't float. Little boy, wanna buy a fishing boat.
Now down in the meadow, in a little fishy pool, lives three little fishes and a mama fishy too. Now swim, said the mama fishy, swim if you can. Mm-mm-mm. Are you taking the mickey? So they swam and they swam right over the dam.
Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina dance, Thumbelina sing. Oh, Thumbelina, what's the difference if you're very small? When your heart is full of love, you're 9 feet tall.
20 tiny fingers, 20 tiny toes, 2 angel faces, each with a turned up nose. Oh, it looks like mommy with a cute little girl on top. And the other one's got a big false bottom, exactly like his pop, 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 pop.
There was a little bunny who lived down the lane and his home in an old log rail. With his little pink nose and his long white ears, the funny little bunny with a powder puff tail.
I love the sea, I love the navy, love my biscuits soaked in gravy. But pretty little black-eyed Susie, but pretty little black-eyed Susie, cross my heart, I love you best of all.
Well, how did you do? Did you spot Joy Nichols in Little Red Monkey? How about Danny Kaye, Shirley Abicaire, Frankie Howard, Al McCogan, Gene Autry and Guy Mitchell? They were the others. What was it Noel Coward said about cheap music? And none is more potent than the next song. If you were to hear the opening few bars, not only would you instantly know the title and the tune that was coming, but most of the words. See what I mean? The words surface immediately without any conscious effort, like a catechism. And with the words come the memories and associations. Giles Brandreth's are particularly strong. He had his request played.
I was tremendously excited, and it is no exaggeration to say that that changed my life. To actually lie in bed and listen on the radio and hear your own name spoken was quite extraordinary. I mean, at the age of five, whatever I was, there I was, lying in bed, and to hear somebody saying your own name and saying, now we will play for Giles the Teddy Bear's Picnic, it was sheer magic.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
The Teddy Bear's Picnic, originally written as a piano solo in 1907, with lyrics added in 1932 and recorded by Henry Hall in the same year. The record, by the way, was used as an engineering test by the BBC because of the frequency range of the music, and many people who had inadvertently left on their wireless sets were alarmed and puzzled to be woken at 3 o'clock in the morning by this musical ursine saga. Other people like Geoffrey Archer have memories of it for other reasons.
I remember that vividly because it was written by the father of a school friend of mine, Kennedy. And he explained to me in my youth, when I was about 8 or 9, that every time I heard that record, his father was earning the money that allowed him to go to the school we were at. And that sort of vividly stuck in my mind. So, yes, I remember Uncle Mac playing Teddy Bear's Picnic.
If you go down in the woods today, you'd better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
How much is that doggy in the window? Is that dog in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale.
Another maddening McCullochism when he played the wrong version of a song, like this one by Patti Page or the later one by the Beverly Sisters.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Lita Rosa, better bark.
The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
For some, Uncle Mac on a Saturday morning meant teddy bears picnicking and doggies in windows. For others, it was Mazzy Dotes and Dozy Dotes and pink toothbrushes. For me and thousands of others, it also meant Danny Kaye, an entertainer of genius, who died only last year. Tubby the Tuba, Popo the Puppet, wonderful Copenhagen, Thumbelina, the Ugly Duckling, of course, and my own personal request.
Isn't it, oh, isn't it rich? Look at the charm of every stitch. The suit to close is altogether, but altogether it's altogether the most remarkable suit to close that I have ever seen. These eyes of mine at once determine. The sleeves are velvet, the cape is ermine, the hose are blue, and the doublet is a lovely shade of green.
Lovely shade of green!
Summon the court to convene. Well, the court convened, and you never in your life saw as many people as were at that court. All the ambassadors, the dukes, the earls, the counts, it was just black with people. And they were all told about the magic suit of clothes. And after they were told, they naturally didn't want to appear fools, and they said, isn't it all, isn't it absolutely... The suit of clothes is altogether, but altogether, it's altogether the most remarkable suit of clothes a tailor ever made. Now quickly, put it all together with gloves of leather and hat and feather. It's altogether the thing to wear in Saturday's parade.
Saturday's parade!
Leading the Royal Brigade. Now Saturday came, and the streets were just lined with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And they all were cheering as the artillery came by, the infantry marched by, the cavalry galloped by, and everybody was cheering like mad, except one little boy. You see, he hadn't heard about the magic suit and didn't know what he was supposed to see. Well, as the king came by, the little boy looked and, horrified, said, look at the king! Look at the king! Look at the king! The king! The king! The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether as naked as the day that he was born. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, it's altogether the very least the king has ever worn.
Call the court physician, call an intermission. His majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn.
The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether as naked as the day that he was born.
And it's altogether too chilly a morn.
The King's New Clothes and Danny Kaye, one of my childhood friends. And then, around about 1956, something happened.
Well, since my baby left, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die.
We used to discuss contentious records at the departmental meeting. And Anna Instone, who I mentioned earlier, who was the boss of the gramophone department and probably the most senior lady in the BBC at that time. At one departmental meeting, Anna said, I don't know whether any of you have heard this record by this fellow called Elvis Presley, Heartbreak Hotel. She said, I don't understand it, and I won't say you can't play it, but I can never foresee the day when the BBC will broadcast whole programs of this sort of music.
Oh, though it's always crowded, you still can find some room.
I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly.
He wouldn't work today, but he was dead right for the time.
Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black.
There once was an ugly duckling with feathers all stubby and brown.
We hope you have liked these hymns and will sing them over and over again.
Oh, though it's always crowded, you still can find some room. Well, they've been so long on the street.
Lie in bed and listen on the radio and hear your own name spoken was sheer magic.
Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell.
The baby's neck, love, baby's knee, I wear the latest
dimple. Oh, though it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry. It's so lonely, baby. Well, it's so lonely. It'll be so lonely they could die.
We
We used to agonize as to how often we'd play The Runaway Train or The Four-Legged Friend, these real children's favorites. It was a genuine title for the program. Most of the records we played were real favorites, and people wanted to hear them again and again.
Goodbye, children. Everywhere.
Oh, thought Tubby, how happy I am.